You are on the next level. This is The Beautiful Truth on BreakForNews.com, where the expression is still free.
20 seconds and counting. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour.
And you're very welcome. This is The Beautiful Truth on BreakForNews.com with Fintan Dunn reporting on a great and glorious day for the US financial system as news emerged this afternoon of a surge on the stock market, which saw a potential fall of 600 points turned into a rally of 450 points. And it's all over, folks. That was just a brief crisis. Don't worry about it. You can go back to sleep. Everything's fixed up, the government will solve all your problems, and there's nothing to worry about. Except, of course, you've got to worry about the terrorists. Osama bin Shortsell. Yep. According to Jim Cramer on CNBC, the stock market mouthpiece channel, financial terrorists have staged the recent economic problems in the United States. Cramer says that, regular short sellers, we're not doing this stuff with the banks. No, it was Osama bin Shortsell and his cohort who hate America and hate our freedoms. Don't be a financial terrorist because you could get locked up. But anyway, as I say, no worries. The crisis is over. Washington has woken up and there is a plan. In fact, there are possibly two plans. There's a Resolution Trust Corporation, which will take over some of this bad housing debt, or a Resolution Finance Corporation, Senator Charles Schumer says, which will take over this debt. Different methods and methodologies applied, but yeah, don't worry about it. It's the government's going to fix it all up by buying everything and turning the United States into a command economy, you know, where the government owns everything, like in... what was that place? Russia. That's right. I remember now. Russia. Yeah, they used to do that. And you know, that leads to economic stagnation. But did I say that? No, that is the solution to the problem. No, that doesn't lead to economic stagnation. That's the solution to the problem. And some other innovative solutions have been put forward. In the United Kingdom, the government's already announced that it's banning short selling in financial stocks. And the United States is going to also crack down on short selling. That's a half-baked measure. I mean, why not go the whole way and make it illegal to sell stocks? That would solve the problem of any potential crash in the stock market, like overnight. Just make it totally illegal to sell shares. Problem solved, eh? Anyhow, yes, I am being facetious and sarcastic. Now, the government's going to take on all these debts. Where is it going to get the money from? I'm not really sure. Corporate taxes have collapsed from $300 billion to $250 billion, and everybody's busy servicing their housing debt, and they don't have any money left to buy consumer goods. I don't know where this money's going to come from. It's going to come from outer space. The United States government has a lending arrangement with the grey aliens who are going to provide all the money. Yes. Interesting times in which we live. Volatile times, in fact, in the stock markets. And of course, it's when market volatility is at its height that you can make the most money. See, in a relatively static market, you got to take long-term positions, don't you? But in a market which is highly volatile, those in the know can make a lot of money. And there's something you need to realize about this, what's going on right now. This is not the crash. This is not the crash. This is the big sharks eating the small sharks. That's what this is. All of this has been staged. And of course, you knew there was going to be a recovery in the markets because there always is. When they stage one of these meltdown events, they always put a floor underneath it and stage a rally, don't they? Because they have deep pockets, these people, and they have a plunge protection team. If you're not up on what goes on in financial markets, they have a plunge protection team. In other words, a group of people with huge amounts of money to rig the market. And what's been going on in the demise of Bear Stearns and the recent events in the last week or two is simply some rearrangement of the deck chairs on the deck of the Titanic. That's all. You could think of what's going on right now really as a game of financial musical chairs. That's what's going on. Everything has been orchestrated to ensure that when the music stopped, the one left with no chair to sit on is the middle class in the United States. That's been the plan all along. The globalist system has a plan, has had a plan, and that plan has been to turn the world into a dollar zone. So what they did was inflated the dollar using new instruments of financial leverage to do that, changing the rules of the game to create money out of thin air, and that money was the dollar, and then use that to fund and enable the overseas expansion of, in particular, American corporate power. And they have plugged themselves into foreign markets where there are working classes as opposed to middle classes, because working classes earn a lot less. And the expansion of the dollar was used to achieve that result. Now, it always was going to blow. It could never be sustained, but you can keep this thing going for quite a long time before it does blow. And it's starting to blow now. No wonder, because since back in the era of Reaganomics, the percentage of credit as a percentage of GDP in the economy in the United States has gone from around about 44% to 64%. So there is, everybody knows, a huge credit bubble, and this bubble is bursting, and it won't be allowed to burst ahead of November the 4th. And that's why you knew that the market wasn't going to keep going down, because if it did, that would be a problem for John McCain. And John McCain can't have those kinds of problems, because the plan is to have McCain-Palin in power during a period when there will be the bipartisanship of which McCain speaks so frequently. Bipartisanship means the Republicans and the Democrats getting together to screw the people of the United States. Cooperate. It's enough of the fighting in Congress between Democrats. No, it's time to unite. In America's hour of need, it's time for the two big parties to unite with each other and to together screw the American people. And the way that they're going about that is not through inflation and not through deflation, but in order to screw as much as possible out of the people, particularly the investors who don't know any better, but through inflationary and deflationary cycles, which are mixed with each other. That's why you get this Bear Stearns problem, and then you get a bit of a pause, and then you've got a problem with Fannie and Freddie, and there will be another bit of a pause, and then you get a new problem. So you have inflation, which is created by the government saying they're now going to manufacture money out of thin air and use that to support the debt, which the banks couldn't support. And all the time you've got deflation going on in the actual real economy. So you've got this curious mixture of inflation and deflation, which is a stagflationary process that's taking place. And the effect of all that? Well, let me read you something from an article. It's about a country called XYZ, which I won't name. XYZ. XYZ's middle classes were bracing themselves for bankruptcy yesterday as analysts warned that a financial meltdown had already begun, and the country's new leaders scrambled for an economic rescue plan in the wake of nationwide rioting. As XYZ recovers from 2 days of looting and street battles, the country is closer than ever to financial collapse. In its fourth year of recession, foreign creditors have refused desperately needed bailouts to XYZ, which is crippled by its colossal public debt. The wealthy middle classes face losing their jobs and life savings if bank deposits are frozen or if the financial system collapses. XYZ was one of the richest nations in the world, but the country now has more than 18% unemployment and soaring crime rates. Its large middle class used to enjoy high standards of living for decades, but now that middle class is shrinking fast. Okay. Have you guessed what country that is? It's Argentina. And that article is from December the 23rd, 2001. And that's the future, baby, for the United States. There's an article in the LA Times by Rosa Brooks today. Dear United States, welcome to the third world. It's not every day that a superpower makes a bid to transform itself into a third world nation. And we here at the World Bank and International Monetary Fund want to be among the first to welcome you to the community of states in desperate need of international economic assistance. As you spiral into a catastrophic financial meltdown, we're delighted to respond to your Treasury Department's request that we undertake a joint stability assessment of your financial sector. In these turbulent times, we can provide services ranging from subsidized loans to expert advisors willing to perform an emergency overhaul of your entire government. As you know, some outside intervention in your economy is overdue. Last week, even before Wall Street's latest collapse, 13 former finance ministers convened at the University of Virginia and agreed you must fix your broken financial system. You've been exporting instability in world markets, and the time has come. The U.S. should accept some monitoring by the International Monetary Fund. I'm going to pause in the article there. The kind of monitoring by the International Monetary Fund that was applied to Argentina back in 2001. Are you getting it? Let me continue. We hope you won't feel embarrassed as we assess the stability of your economy and suggest needed changes. Remember, many other countries have been in your shoes. We've bailed out the economies of Argentina, Brazil, Indonesia, and South Korea. But whether our work is in Sudan, Bangladesh, or now the United States, our experts are committed to intervening in national economies with care and sensitivity. We thus want to acknowledge the progress you have made in your evolution from economic superpower to economic basket case. Normally, such a process might take 100 years or more. With your oscillation between free market extremism and nationalization of private companies, however, you've successfully achieved in a few short years many of the key hallmarks of third world economies. Your policies of irresponsible government deregulation in critical sectors allowed you to rapidly develop an energy crisis, a housing crisis, a credit crisis, and a financial market crisis all at once, and accompanied by impressive levels of corruption and speculation. Now, you're facing the consequence. Income equality has increased as the rich have gotten windfalls, while the middle class has seen income stagnate. Fewer and fewer of your citizens have access to affordable housing, healthcare, or security in retirement. Even life expectancy has dropped. And when your economic woes went from chronic to acute, you responded like so many third world states have, with an extensive program of nationalizing private companies and assets. Your mortgage giants are now state-owned and controlled, and this week your reinsurance giant was effectively nationalized. Some might deride this as socialism, but desperate times call for desperate measures. Admittedly, your transition to third world status is far from over, and it won't be painless. At first, for instance, you may find it hard to get used to the shanty towns that will replace the exurban sprawl of McMansions that helped fuel the real estate speculation bubble, but in time, such shanty towns will simply become part of the landscape. Similarly, as unemployment rates continue to rise, you will initially struggle to find a use for the expanding pool of angry, jobless young men, but you'll gradually realize you can recruit them to fight in a ceaseless round of armed conflicts, a solution that's been utilized by many other third world states before you, indeed. With your wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, you're off to a great start. Perhaps this letter comes as a surprise to you, and you feel you're not fully ready to join the third world. Don't let this feeling concern you. Though you may never have realized it, you've been preparing for this moment for years. And that is Rosa Brooks in the LA Times, just out today. And it's about the only words that make any sense that you can read in the mainstream media about what's going on right now. Everything else is hype. Everything else is deception and illusion. And yet, there's nothing going on that should surprise you. Because as tuned in people, and you must be if you bother listening to breakfornews.com and participating in the forum, and thanks very much to those who do. But it's not telling you anything you didn't know. It's not telling you anything you didn't know when Ben Bernanke took over and Greenspan headed for the hills. We knew what was happening. We knew what they were going to do. In more democratic times, you couldn't get away with this because you'd be facing an inevitable backlash. But the system in the United States is not facing an inevitable backlash, at least not one that it can't adequately contain with the new powers which it has in its legislation as a result of those legal moves made literally weeks after 9/11. And it's not going to get any better, because the levels of corruption are just beyond belief. And the reason they're beyond belief is that those in the financial and governmental structure have been given a license, like James Bond 007, a license to destroy. A license to destroy the middle class in the United States and to suck as much money as possible out of them. That's the game, until you reach the point where the IMF can walk in and say, let's see what we can do to help you guys out. And if you think it's bad that short selling is being made illegal already, and talk of that, wait till they bring in a law which restricts your ability to take money out of your local bank. Purely for your own protection, of course. Of course, you're not the only ones who have these problems. Countries in the G8 economies worldwide are going to have these problems, but America is going to have them in spades, because the United States middle class has been, and even right now continues to be, the primary impediment to the imposition of the global fascist state. This takes us back to 9/11, which is deeply, intimately linked to what's happening in the financial markets right now, and always has been. I haven't focused a great deal on 9/11 over the last couple of years. It's hard to fight the level of propaganda which has been directed at the people of the United States. You've got to let the phase we're in right now play out. And the phase we're in right now, the Obama change, blah, blah, that phase ends on the 4th of November. And the real shockwaves of the financial crisis will kick in not long after. But as long as people are still in the bubble economy, it's very hard to get them to listen to issues of real political change. And this is both political and spiritual change, which is demanded. And as I say, as long as they're in the bubble economy, they're not going to listen. They're too busy consuming. But after the bubble has burst, the bubble created to enable China, for example, to enter the global economy, and remember that China was admitted to the WTO literally weeks after 9/11 took place, after the bubble has burst, when it's played its strategic role in the globalization process, then people will be much more interested in listening, because they won't be in the consumption business any longer. They'll be in the deflation business. Then they'll be much more interested in examining exactly how they got into the state that they're in. So there is a lot of bad news, but there's good news too. One piece of good news is that, hey, that always had to end. That crazy hysterical level of consumption always had to end, and we are going to move to a new, more integrated and healthy mode of living, and hopefully also a more integrated and healthy mode of social political organization, which will emerge out of the ruins of this globalization attempt. So it isn't all doom and gloom, in as much as the last couple of years have been, for me, uniquely depressing because of the continuation of the bubble economy and the propaganda which has been laid on us from Hillary to Obama and then to McCain. Just as much as that has been depressing because of the lack of opportunity for the social and political development that we need to take place the next 4 years after November the 4th, equally hold an equal measure of promise for the development of a new social and political awareness. In the meantime, what can you do? You can use the fake crash, which, as I say again, is not the real one. It's just financial cannibalism taking place among the Wall Street crew. That's primarily what's going on, plus setting the scene for the new era, IMF era, for the United States after November 4. Well, you can use that, if you haven't already, to take the necessary steps. And the necessary steps are to disconnect as much as possible from the existing financial structure. If you have assets which are not capable of being put to productive use, get rid of them, because you'll need assets you can put to productive use. So plasma TVs are not a machine that you can use to make something. So you need to get rid of anything which is not going to be able to enable you to develop your own income earning potential. This is the great opportunity for those who are prepared to grasp it, is that if you can divest yourself of unnecessary assets which are no use to you and minimize your exposure to the economic downside, which is coming and it's big, and instead position yourself to take part in the resurgence of small business, internet-based small business in particular, then you'll be able to do okay, because that is the tremendous potential at an economic level for people, is to have home-based businesses, is to have small business that doesn't have overhead, that you ruthlessly eliminate your exposure to overhead and at the same time participate in what will be a resurgence of community-based small business, which is going to take place across the United States, even as the global corporate structure lumbers on into its demise. That's the big message from what's going on right now, is that this is in fact a time of great opportunity, but you've got to get ready for it. You've got to be in a position to be able to do that. That I would call it the solidarity revolution, where those who realize they've been screwed by the system begin at a community level more and more to trade with each other, cutting the corporates out of the picture. That's the new wave, and I'm looking forward to participating in it. It won't be in the United States alone, but it will be a global phenomenon. Of course, over the next 4 years, the corporate structure will be creating its own 2012 revolution, and the challenge for us is to replace that fake TV reality 2012 revolution with a real and genuine grassroots community-based revolution at a social and a political level, one which also brings us the truth of how we ended up in this situation, one which enables us to examine the truth of how everybody was maneuvered into this situation, including the truth about 9/11. I'll finish with a 9/11 reference. The Bear Stearns collapse was the first plane hitting the North Tower. What you've just seen in the last few weeks is the plane hitting the South Tower, the twin towers of the corporate-controlled financial structure in the United States are burning, and the collapse is imminent. Make sure you're ready for it. We'll do our best here to keep you informed on breakfornews.com, including a focus on truth, justice, and also the practical day-to-day business of survival in the years ahead. I'll be back with more on that very soon. I do hope you can join me. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from home. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle right for me. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from home. Keep day from night, and as the day fades, burn a candle right for me. Walking into the sun. Walking into the sun. Safe and away from home. Keep day from night.